I'm doing it anyways.
Whether or not I feel like it. You know why? Do you remember what Paul told Timothy? He looked at him and said, young man, preach the word. Instant. In season or out of season. You be ready to go, whether you like it or not. Whether you want to or not, you be ready to preach the word. You be ready to go because somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it. If there's a spirit that is dragging on you, the chances are, if you give into that spirit, somebody is going to be robbed. Somebody's going to get what they need to hear stolen from them because you aren't obedient to the Word of God. You aren't obedient to the preach the Word, instant, in season and out of season. Preach the Word, young man. Preach the Word. I know he was talking to me because I know he was saying, young man. I'm trying to convince myself, just in case you were wondering. Believe me, I convinced myself otherwise after I got done with enemy's camp.
I don't remember it being so hard to catch my breath. Whew. You gotta go. Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. You know, before I'm gonna read the title. I don't usually do that, but the title of today's sermon is Lead Them, Show Them, Bring Them. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, start the children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it or forget it. This is not a proverb. back up the truck. This is a proverb. This is a principle. This is not a promise. Oh, I can't tell you how often I hear, Pastor, what about that promise in the Bible where it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. And my kids aren't living for Jesus, and I talk about Jesus, and they're not living for Jesus. Why did God break His promise? God never broke a promise. That is straight out of the book of Proverbs. Do you know what a proverb is? It's a good saying. Proverb is a good saying. It's a principle to live by. Train up your child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll not depart from it, does not mean that God is going to take away their free will, and that they have to serve God. Even if you taught them their whole life that they're to serve God, God will not pull that free will from them, and you need to understand that. That would be counterintuitive to everything that He teaches. But train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That is something that is a great saying and a great principle to live by. Children are impressionable. The things they are taught generally are seared in their brains. Right or wrong, the things they are taught are seared in their brains. And we need to teach our children not just about Jesus. And you need to understand this. We need to teach our children. And we need to teach our children's friends. And we need to teach our neighbors and relatives and those around us. We need to train them up knowing who Jesus is, first off. They need to know who Jesus is. But then we need to show them how to live in our actions. We need to show them, Dad goes to church. Dad goes to church. And when Dad goes to church, so do you. I want to go to church. It really doesn't matter to me what you want, because right now you're my kid. You see? And you being my kid means that I have authority over you. And you're coming to church. My dad is not me, eh? Well, then you come to you. But you're coming to church. I'm not saying for him to get tummy ache. I'll just give a little over dramatic there. But we do have authority over our children. We do. And we need to show that there is nothing wrong. Pastor Steve Kerr preaches. When I was a kid, I had a drug problem growing up. I had a terrible drug problem. My parents drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and whenever there was a revival, I was drugged there. I had a drug problem. And you know what? It's a good That's a good drug problem to have. As parents, we need to bring our kids to church. You're thinking, Pastor, what if it's too late? My kids are already grown. I didn't bring them in. Show them. Show them now. It's not too late. I'm here to tell you, your kids still are looking at you. Your kids might be 60 years old,
but they're still looking at you.
Right.
Miss Sue, if you quit coming to church, I bet the kids would notice. They'd say, what's wrong with Mom? What's wrong with Mom? She's not going to church no more. Oh, yes. What you do impresses on your children, sears on them.
Right or wrong? Unfortunately, if you didn't find Jesus till late in life, and you didn't come to church, and you didn't teach your children about Jesus, that sears on them too. But you know, there is power in the blood.
And that blood will help you conquer anything that you may have taught them in the past. If you've been a bad dad, and you've been a bad mom, and you've been a bad example in the past, guess what? Stop it. And go down that right path. Oh, I love that. She just started praying in the Spirit right then and there.
Woo, glory. That was good stuff. Hallelujah. It ain't too late, and you're not too bad. And quit beating yourself up over it if you didn't give your heart to Christ early. Chances are, your parents didn't drag you to church. Why didn't you give your heart to Christ early? Because you're impressionable as a child.
You pick up on these things. So I want to reiterate
how important it is. This is a really great saying. It's a proverb. It's a principle.
Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll remember it. That's what it's saying. When they're old, they'll remember it. They'll never lose sight of what you train them. They may choose not to follow in that direction,
but they'll never lose sight of where that direction is. They'll always know the way. Do you remember the prodigal son?
Do you remember what happened when he went and said, hey, Pop, I need my inheritance. Oh, come on. You're rich. You're rich. You're rich. And I want my share. Because when you're gone, I'm going to be old. And I like it now. So can I have it, Dad? Oh, he's a loving father. And he gave it up. And he gave him his inheritance. And that boy went out and he squandered it on wild women, drugs, alcohol, and friends. Fair weather friends. When you are out throwing money around, guess what? You will have friends. They'll be of their own guilt, but you will have friends until the money's gone. And guess who's the first ones to disappear? All those that I mentioned. Women, alcohol, drugs, friends, they're all gone when the money's gone. When you're out partying, living the life of party, it's all gone.
Amen.
And then you get into that life of squander. You do and you will. This is what happened to the prodigal son. He got in that life of squander. Living in squalor. He was living with the pigs, and he's a Jew. That's a no-no. He was out feeding the pigs. He was unclean. You know that? By hanging out with those pigs and leaving those pigs, that made him unclean. And he was considering eating out of the pig trough because he was so hungry. I have seen people pick it out of a garbage can because they're so hungry. Man, you see somebody picking out of a garbage can, please, if you've got some money in your pocket, buy them a Big Mac. This boy was hungry. I don't care how he was living. He was hungry. And he said, you know, my daddy's slaves, my daddy's servants, eat better than this. Maybe he'll let me be a servant. Maybe I can go work for my daddy. And he went home, and there he was, standing there, knowing that he knew his way home. He knew his way home. You see, because he trained up his child in the way he should go. He had taken that boy to town. He had taken that boy to the city. He had taken him to the neighboring county. He had taken him to the friend's house. If he went home, do you know what happened? He remembered his way home. He showed them the way home, and eventually he came home.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies is A Knight's Tale. And one of the things he says is that he looks up at his dad and he's this big as he's going off to work for a knight. And William looks up at his dad and he says, well, Daddy, how will I know my way home? He says, just follow your feet. just follow your feet. I love that. I'm almost making a cry when I think about it. Consider the prodigal son has followed on his feet home. He knew the way home because that's the way Daddy trained him.
Yes.
You see, when I was a kid, I remember we lived in Elkhart and went to church at Benton General Baptist Church in Benton, Indiana, from Elkhart. Every Sunday, Wednesday, whatever, we went to church. 45-minute drive. 45 minutes. You know, I can tell you now as an adult, a gazillion ways to get to Benton. But you know the way I take? Generally, it's the way I was shown. It's the way I was shown as a child on how to get to church. And you know what? When I want to go home, I just turn around and go that way. I just turn around and go that way home. Because I was shown that way. I remember as a kid riding the school bus to school. I think if I had to walk to school, I would walk every street. But the school bus went.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I knew the school.
Yeah.
Show them how to go. Show them how to live.
Those things are seared on their brains. When I'm sick,
you want to know what I know to do? Because my mom never failed to do it. I know to go to the Father. And I say, "You ready, sir?" I'm a baby boy. I'm used to being called a baby.
Yep.
I'm the baby of the family.
Sure.
Father, you're making sure. My mom told me to do this. My mom told me to do this. And I'm coming to you for her example. When people ask me, "Pastor, how come you believe in speaking in tongues?" You know what my first answer is? I saw my mom do it. My mom would never lie to me. My mom would never lie to me. My mom speaks in tongues. You know how I know speaking in tongues is real? Other than I have my prayer language. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. That's why that's so awesome. It's right in the middle. Out it comes. Why? Because I know my mom wouldn't lie to me. And you know what she did? She trained me up in the way I should go. And now that I'm old, I'm not departing from that. No, no.
It's vitally important to teach our children who Jesus is, how to pray, how to worship. If you're embarrassed to worship in front of your children will be embarrassed to worship in front of their children, and their children will be embarrassed to worship in front of their children.
Do you see how that works? Generally. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit just gets a hold of these kids, and they say, "Oh, I'll go the way that He showed me." We need not be embarrassed to worship. We need not be embarrassed to pray.
We need to teach them how to pray, how to worship, and take them to church, whether they want to come or not. You know when you don't bring your child to church?
When they're contagious. If they've got a fever, keep them home. That's what a good parent would do.
Right.
That's okay. You know that doesn't happen as frequently as I said that wrong. They don't get a fever as often as they get fevers less often than they don't.
Right.
Got that all tongue twisted. Fevers happen. Kids get sick. If honestly, if they've got a stomach bug, keep them home. Don't let them use it as an excuse. I'm only telling you that from my own experience. I use it as an excuse because, you know, I have a sick stomach or something. Could possibly give me my way. Mom, you got a bellyache. I don't want to go to church. It wouldn't be mom that said it. It'd be my dad that said it. Boy, if you got a bellyache, you better start puking or you're going to church. I see no other signs of a bellyache other than you don't want to go to church. You have intuition, don't you, parents? I mean, you can tell. You can tell by their fruit. You shall know them.
That's right.
They were up playing, Until that moment where mom said, time to go to church.
Oh, I got a bellyache, Mom.
All right, you're in bed all day long. Oh, my mom loved that one.
You got a bellyache?
All right, you're in bed all day long. You get in bed because you're staying in bed until you're well.
Mom, I'm feeling better. I think I'll go to church.
So when I said that earlier, please don't think I'm a bad parent. I know from whence I came. So, I told you about my mom. She would pray.
When we were sick, she would pray when the Holy Spirit would direct her. I can't tell you how many times I'd go in. Where'd Mom go? Where'd Mom go? As a little kid, you don't care about privacy. You know that. We've all been little kids. You don't care about Mom's privacy when you're a little kid. Where'd Mom go? Open her door. Oh, Mom, why are you crying? Mom, why are you crying? And she'd be next to her bed, and she'd be praying, and she'd be crying. And she'd be like, Mom, I'm okay. Mom's praying right now. Once in a while. Not every time, but once in a while. She'd say, Mom, come pray with me. Come pray with me. You know why she did that? That's how Grandma taught her. How Grandma Baker taught my mom. Come pray with me. And you know why Grandma Baker did that? Because that's how her mom taught her. And yes, I know I'm leaning hard on the moms here. Again, this is what I know. Not to say that my dad never prayed. Not to say that my dad, unfortunately, like many men today, he just wasn't the spiritual leader in our house. That was that little old naive lady that comes on Sunday nights. Don't you mess with her kids. You know that commercial on TV, don't mess with my discount. With my mama, don't mess with my kids. My kids are going to heaven, and ain't nobody going to stop that. I am dragging them with me. And when it comes to it, Hulk Hogan couldn't stop her. She made him look tiny and frail and unknowing.
But she has a spiritual strength like nobody's business. And she taught it to me. And this is what we need to do. We need to teach it to our kids. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Pastor, how'd you go to 1 Timothy from Proverbs? This is so good. And I wonder, did you ever read this? Have you ever read this and seen this? 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think I said 1 Timothy. No, I didn't. I told my daughter right.
I got it marked here, right? Got it marked wrong there. Chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. There's a promise for you. That's not a proverb, that's a promise. Life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Are you paying attention to this? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, your true faith. Faith that anybody can see when they look at you, they know that you are serving Jesus. Which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. But gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Timothy was at least a third-generation believer. Lois, Eunice, Timothy. Thank God for Lois and Eunice before Timothy. Thank God for mothers who cared enough to show their children, this is the way it is, and I'm here to tell you, I know it. There was somebody along the way that didn't show them. The Holy Spirit guided them and taught them, this is how you teach your children. And they did it. I would be willing to guess that maybe Lois, in her old age, came to know about Jesus. Remember, Jesus had not too long earlier died on the cross. So when you've got three generations of believers here, they weren't believers that long. But Lois came to believe, and she taught Eunice, and Eunice taught Timothy, and somebody learned it in their old age. But they knew how to teach their children. They knew how to teach their children. To teach their children with excellence. To teach their children with perseverance. To teach their children through testimony. And through experience. And through example. They taught their children. I thank God for Lois and Eunice. You know why? Timothy was such a strong individual in the faith. Pastoring the church, I believe Timothy pastored the Ephesians. He's a pastor. They raised a pastor. I thank God for mamas who bring up pastors, because I'm a pastor, and I thank God that my mama brought me up to know the honor that it is to be a pastor and the extreme responsibility that it is. And it's nothing to be taken lightly. And here Timothy is, knows where how to go. Because that's how his mama taught him. And that's how his grandmama taught him.
Amen.
Oh, I can imagine if he let a bad word out. Do you know the soap he probably went through? And I can imagine if he went out and partied with his friends and got caught, the disappointment. The disappointment on mama's face. The disappointment on grandma's face. Do you know that means something? Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, if your children or grandchildren know that you're disappointed in them, do you know how bad that feels? I can go back to that. I remember when I was 18 years old and I went to a party. I just made my friends think I was drunk at that party. They were drunk.
Yeah.
They were really drunk. I didn't like tasting alcohol. So I just acted like I was drinking and poured it out of time. But I went and told my mom about that party and the disappointment that I went to one of those parties. The disappointment on her face. Oh, mom. But you know why? That's not how she brought me up. That's not how she trained me.
Yeah.
Teach your kids. One of my mom's greatest resources is guilt. Nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
It hurts more than a spanking.
Amen.
If I think I hurt my mom, you could beat me with a bullwhip and I wouldn't hurt near as bad as knowing that I hurt my mom.
Amen.
As I broke my mom's heart.
Right.
This is not a rebuke. Church, this isn't a review. It's a reminder. This is the way that he would have us live. As an example to those around us. Did you notice that when we have children in this church, most of them are listening?
That's right.
We have a few teens right now. Our church is kind of regenerating. They are the church. And it's incumbent on everybody in here to be the one to train them up in the way they should go. So they are good. What's the worst thing that can happen is that we get all political on them,
legalistic. How about we just stick to, let's teach them about Jesus, let's show them how Jesus lived, let's live like Jesus lived, and let's show them that, and let's show them that this is how a man or woman of God lives. We're not going to get into doctrinal arguments. We're not going to do it. We're going to teach our children who Jesus is. We're going to show them how he lived. We're going to tell them who he is. We're going to tell them how they can be born again. And there are leaders of the future. There's going to be that day when their authority over you. Did you know that? There will be that day when little Daisy has authority over that lady back there on that pew. There will be that day. Oh, no, I'm not saying that we are going to ever stop honoring our parents. You know how you honor your parents the best? Live a life for Jesus. If you choose to live your life for Jesus, you'll never break that commandment. Did you know that? If you choose to live a life for Jesus, you will never, ever, ever break the commandment to honor your father and mother. Because what greater honor for them is if you are living your life. I don't mean you claim to be a Christian. I mean you're living your life as a Christian. And you will not dishonor your parents, ever. That's the greatest honor a parent can have is a child comes to know Jesus and lives their life for Jesus. That's all that this message was a reminder to each and every one of us. Let's be careful how we live. Let's be careful how we walk. Let's be careful how we show our disappointment and express our disappointments toward others. Let's be careful how we express our disgust towards others. Let's be careful what we say about others. I fully believe that gossip will shoot a church down in its prime. Gossip will kill a church. It is a silver bullet that comes from a silver tongue. Gossip will drive right through the heart of a church body, and the doors will close faster than you can snap your fingers. We need to be for each other. We need to be united with each other, and we need to show those babies how to live.
We need to show them what unity looks like, don't we? How will they know if we don't show? How will they know?
Train a child up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Remember, it's not a promise. It's a principle, and it's a principle that we should all live by. Let's see it.
Father, I bless your name.
It's real easy, Father, after a message like today, that I could go back and look back in my life and say, oh, what a terrible dad I've been. Look, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. But Holy Spirit, I am quite certain that's not what you were saying to us today. I am quite certain that the message today was, don't look backwards, look forwards. I'm quite certain that the message today was, how will they know unless we show them? As we train up our children in the way they should go, may we do it with you as our ultimate guide, with your word as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
May we show our children the way they need to go so that when they're old, they will not depart from us.
And if our children are already old, let us keep praying. If they've departed, if they've wandered, if they've walked away, let us be just as the good father in the parable of the prodigal son. Let us be standing in that road, watching every day, waiting for that child to find their feet, waiting for that child to come back on the road that we showed them.
We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the word that you provided. Amen.
You know, normally I'm going to do an altar call. If you need time of prayer, please come on up. I'll gladly pray with you. But as I look throughout the sanctuary, I think I can say with confidence, you're all my brothers and sisters, and you all have Jesus in your heart. So, if you need to pray, the altars are open. If you'd like music on in the background, I'm glad to put it on. Otherwise, love to see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Have a great day. Be safe. God bless.